I just feel like he'd be most useful as a dog, because I don't want to throw an arm at things.
Fair.
But you want to throw a dog at things?
Okay, he can at least throw himself at things.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that you felt more
But the thing is, if he's an arm, he can throw other things at things.
This is true. This is true.
But how will he move?
Okay.
He's got his little, right now he has his little stubby legs. Little stubs.
Okay, so wait, I also had a question. So, yeah. say that we do the transition of Junior becoming dog, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Does Junior remain walking on its little legs where it was severed? Or is it going to start walking like the thing from the Addams Family?
I had like a theory of like the fingers, like just like slowly becoming the legs.
So like thing from the Addams Family. Okay, just checking.
If that's what you would prefer, I had my own idea, but we can get there. Okay, so we're gonna work around, not immediately throw ourselves into a scene yet, because I want to get the plan set in stone to see exactly what you guys want to do and where we can go with this.
Okay.
So, as of right now, I gave you guys two options to either, you know, work with Luna and use their leverage to get yourselves inside of Area 51. To get inside of the nuclear testing site so that you can get access to wherever the mother is in there. Or you can explore the tunnels underneath flats where it seems like a lot of these creatures are coming from. And your biggest lead so far on that is that Deputy Dennis Denham Freeman believes that a case from a while back affected not only the criminal that they were after, but also the sheriff as well. So he sent over that criminal, you know, information, the police report. I actually made it into a document that I'm going to send to you guys right now.
Ooh.
That actually kind of explains what had happened during that investigation. And you know what? Actually, hold on a second. I'm going to make it more fun. I'm going to send it directly to Kelsey, because that's who it's being sent to. And Kelsey can read it and share it to everybody.
Yes, sir.
But as of right now, I believe you guys were leaning towards exploring the tunnels underneath flats and seeing where that goes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Additionally, you guys have also been discussing who and what you guys want to bring with you as allies, you know, on this trip. Jesse has said he'll make extra wristbands to protect from any radiation for whoever you wanted to bring. There was some talk of bringing Mr. Freeman. There was some talk of bringing Luna. Jesse had declined not wanting to go at all. Mateo, as of the scene that we were exploring, Mateo has yet to show, you know, really state anything on the matter. But we also know Junior is more than likely interested to go.
He's coming no matter what.
Of course.
I am the father. I am the one who drags him on vacations.
So I'm curious to you guys if that is still the plan you guys want to go about. As of right now, the tunnel leads directly to the sewers underneath the town. And then we can also figure out who exactly you guys want to bring on your journey.
I called Luna already, I believe, was the conversation that we had last episode. From there, I don't have anyone else that I would have in mind to bring, but yeah, I definitely want to stick with the plan of let's explore these tunnels, let's find out the route of where these parasites are coming from, let's see it in person, let's see what kind of protection it has, how it could potentially be stopped if we could see that its vulnerabilities right there. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
All yeah, right. Sewers is the plan for me.
All right. Okay, then we will go with the sewers. Now, is there anybody else you guys want to bring? Is there any or anything you want to do before going down there, whether it be talking to Tex, or you want to bring a whole army of NPCs with you? They might need some convincing, but... Or maybe you want... Oh, man. Jamie and Rob, or... I don't know, Julia the waitress.
I was going to say that I feel like Jamie and Rob have, they got weapons and we might need those. So.
But then of course you also have to, play the idea too, is you are going to get allies and that might make certain things easier, but it's also going to be, you know, running the risk of putting NPCs in danger as well. But I mean, you're putting yourselves in danger too. Anyway.
Make George come with. I'm kidding.
Make him get out of that fucking chair.
There's one thing I want to get done.
Sure, what's that?
I want to get one of those little insulated lunch bags and put a little container full of, like, those dibs.
Sure. I think that's easy enough to do. And we can explore that a little bit. But yeah, so then as far as NPCs that are coming, I just have down Luna and Mr. Freeman.
Yeah, I would invite Tex, but I think that I don't want her to get hurt, and B, think that having her still with the Order, if I need to call her for anything that the Order can help with, is important for me, more as like backup than actually on the front lines.
Yeah, like a kind of person inside the Order right now that you can trust.
Yeah.
Okay. Additionally, while you guys are planning, you know, where you want to go, you know, last time you kind of felt that there was a little bit of tension between Mateo and Jesse, and Mateo speaks to you guys, I really want to come, if that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that sounds like a good idea.
Let's do it.
You can see that, yeah, there's a kind of hesitation. You get the feeling that he doesn't really want to go home. You don't really know what that, you know, what the situation is there. But there seems to be this kind of disagreement between Jesse and Mateo, where Mateo wants to help and do more. And Jesse is kind of too scared to get really involved.
I'm down to have him be a part of the party for the time being.
Sure.
Yeah, I think more hands the better. You kind of have a stake in this, so makes sense.
What's the seating arrangement in the car now? With
all 10 NPCs squeezed into this car.
No. As you guys are leaving Jesse's, do you guys just... Is Mateo sitting in the middle? Who's sitting in the middle?
He's sitting on the roof of the car.
I will say that who would be this, like, between Cliff, William, and Mateo, who would probably be, like, usually the smaller person goes in the middle, right?
Junior sits in the middle.
Chris is citing every single family vacation we've ever been on where he was forced to cram in the middle.
Yeah, basically.
Either way, I feel like as you're driving, Junior definitely, like, leans over and then, like, pushes the window down with one of his fingers, and then, like, in a very kind of cute but, like, kind of seeing the world for the first time way, like, sticks his little eye stalks out the window to just, like, look out a little bit and, like, take in the wind.
Like a dog.
Yeah, like a dog. And while, you know, we're starting to see the beginning changes for Junior, and... My plan is that Junior, the hands, are going to start to kind of come together and form the face and snout of a dog, and he'll create his own little nubs for feet and a tail. Or if you'd rather, the fingers kind of move downward and almost start to become the limbs themselves. What would you like?
Which is less horrifying for you guys?
So that he can choose the more horrifying one. No, I'm kidding.
I don't have a preference on this.
This is for Cliff's sake.
Oh, well, Cliff is just permanently scarred. I don't think you need to care about his feelings at this point.
Yeah, but they're still valid.
Sure, I will go with the far more disturbing one. You guys ready?
Okay.
Sure. So you make it into town to get the insulated, you know, box and the dibs that Gabe would like, and as you are, you know, driving through town, Junior is looking out the window and sees a, you know, just somebody walking their dog, and Junior is just looking at the dog. So one, Junior closes his mouth, closes the eye that is on the ring finger, so that it is just one eye on the middle finger. And you have to remember this, it's not just the hand, it is like an entire forearm with it.
Yes.
Right.
And Cliff and Mateo are both, we'll say Cliff's in the middle, because that would just be funnier.
Yeah.
Cliff is sitting in the middle, and Junior is just on William's lap. As all of you, like, you watch this, and Holden, I feel like you see it in your peripheral, and Jeremiah just hears it from the front seat, but you guys just hear, like, as the fingers, like, the thumb almost seems to, like, twist backwards, and slowly bend and move down the forearm, as if the muscles themselves are moving around under the skin.
No!
And that thumb becomes a back leg, and the pointer finger becomes the front leg, and the pinky slowly moves around under the skin like jelly, and you hear the fingers like cracking and moving under the skin, and until eventually it has four little arms and legs, and it just has one middle finger kind of sticking out the front of a nubby hand that was all that was left, that is just one eye, and the bottom of the finger actually opens up a little bit for a tiny itty bitty mouth.
My baby boy is growing up.
Okay, so I will say that is the most grossed out I've been to date, like me, Chris, being grossed out by something being described in this D&D session. Cliff is also grossed out, but he's not going to verbally show it. Instead, he's just going to get really sweaty. Like, he's slightly panicking about what's happening
to him. Whenever anything like this happens, you just hear the absolute pure joy in Walsh's voice about how much he just loves body horror and how much he loves delivering things like this. Like, it is so evident. And he's just so much power just fills the air.
It is too much power. It is too much power that he has over having, no.
I will say then the other thing too, William, you start to realize you kind of feel something with your left hand. And you're like, wait, what? My left hand came off, and you're feeling like the inside of your shirt, and you pull up the sleeve where your arm came off, and you're starting to see this, like, itty-bitty little, like, hand start to form.
Nice.
What? So, and just tell me to stop if this isn't relevant, but I feel like in my brain, the way that you've described the morphing of Junior into dog form is that he looks like a dachshund.
Oh, not yet. He just looks like a really messed up hand.
Oh, okay. He's so totally, like, not yet. No other dog characteristics, just a broken hand.
Just a broken, horrifying hand.
Great.
That has somehow taken on the characteristics of a dog. And will it take on further characteristics of a dog, or will this just be the ugliest dog known to man?
Yes.
Or does he even really look like a dog, or can he be any, can he right now look like any four-legged creature, like a goat?
Not at all right now, because cool. It really doesn't, in terms of like a head, it doesn't have a head really.
It has a fingertip with a mouth.
Yeah, it's a fingertip with like a mouth connected to like at the top of a palm.
cool, cool.
Like, if you saw this thing from an aerial point of view, it would just look like something giving you the middle finger.
Almost like a little dinosaur.
It even still has, like, the nails on the back.
Like a little, like a dinosaur.
I want to feed him one of the dips. I want to give him his first experience with ice cream.
Wow.
Sure. Make your way into the, we'll say it's the same convenience store as last time, and you do see Skylar again behind the counter, and I want you to roll plus weird.
Wait, well, who was Skylar again in this?
Skylar is a teenager that looks like Skylar and works every single place, like, has worked almost, like, everywhere that you guys have
entered. Oh, okay, she is default cashier at every single store shop that we were at.
Nine.
Okay, I will say with this, the fact that you have, like, lost so much with your hand, it is making you incredibly hungry. Like, you feel like you need something in your, like, in, like, your stomach is growling and you need something in your system to help regrow whatever you're growing, but you don't have that almost like oopsie moment where, you know, you ate the lid of the gallon of water. You kind of have it under control, but you are, like, your mouth is watering looking at a lot of the snacks and things. And you even see, like, I don't know, do you leave Junior in the car or do you take him, like, in your bag?
I'm gonna leave him in the car with everyone else. Just,
oh my just God, so they amazing. Can watch okay. him. Sure. I think Skylar is gonna, so what do you bring to the counter? You are feeling incredibly hungry.
I'm gonna bring a couple of containers of dibs. I'm probably gonna bring another jug of water. Another jug of water. And that's all I really had in mind for now.
Okay. I think looking at a lot of things, you can't help yourself a little bit here, and you start to grab, like, some granola bars, some chips, like, oh, that'd be, okay, hold on. You know, like, when you go grocery shopping and you're really hungry, and you start to get, like, more than you necessarily need?
Okay, grab pickle chips.
Pickle chips.
Yeah!
You know, all of that. And you just put it on the counter, and, you know, Skylar starts to bring you up and kind of seems to remember the strange interaction from, like, a day or two ago, and that'll be, and then kind of cuts herself off and is like, are you okay? What happened to your arm?
Oh, Jesus. Fuck, what do I tell her? What do I tell her?
Oh, yeah. I feel like you're on your own here.
Thanks.
We're all in the car, man. We don't know what's going on.
I'm asking you guys, though.
Wow.
Just tell her the truth, man.
Oh, wow. Imagine.
Tell Does she know about maybe everything
she'll
else?
Think, no, but maybe she'll think you're kidding. Just tell her point blank exactly what happened, and she'll probably just be like, okay, whatever, bro, and, like, don't, like, just...
My arm
turned into a dog.
This...
Exactly, good, yes.
William, I want you to roll plus charm.
Oh, Jesus. What is my charm stat? Okay, it's not terrible. That's 8.
8? Alright, 7 to 9. Okay. I think they're like, it's not immediately like, okay, whatever, bro. They're like, what? Okay. Here's your total. Okay. And then, you know, you kind of make it out without any further questions. You've definitely kind of piqued their interest, but they're not going to, like, further press you on it. And you also get your little, of course, your little freezer container, too. And you make your way out. Cliff, because you are sitting in the middle, I want you to roll to... I want you to roll to read a bad situation.
Oh, fun. That's a 7 plus... nothing.
Okay, 7 to 9, hold 1, and you can ask one of the questions. I've copied and pasted here.
are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
You look down at your pant leg on your on the side that William was sitting, and you see Junior like gnawing and eating the like one of your leg pants.
Hey, buddy, can you not do this, buddy? Hey, is William at all nearby?
William is in the convenience store and is like making his way out now.
Okay, I roll down the window, and I'm like, can you toss me whatever treats you have so I can get him off of me?
Your pants are delicious.
Did we know that this dude spoke?
Yeah. Yeah.
It spoke before.
Okay, I forgot.
He asked, what is my purpose?
Yes, I forgot about that. Okay. I appreciate it, my man, but like I just got these pants. I kind of needed to wear them out a little bit, but okay.
He looks you dead in the eye. And like he stops, looks you dead in the eye, and you just like he just stares at you for a moment and then goes back to eating your pants.
Hey, Junior. Can you get a grip and just like wait like 2 minutes for what's his name?
William
to get back. Wow. Sorry, your name's not William on Discord, so I forgot.
My name is Redress. My name is Redress.
What is happening?
Name and address withheld.
Cliff, if you reach over the seat there, I probably got like an old shoe or something you can chew on.
Alright, I reach over and grab the shoe.
This conversation, he's like, don't feed him a fucking shoe.
He's not gonna eat the shoe, he's just gonna chew on it.
At this point, you've grabbed the shoe, like, William is entering the vehicle, and you've grabbed the shoe to, like, pull it around at the same time, and you realize the shoe is already half-eaten.
Oh my god, Junior.
And, William, you make it into the car, and I think you and him are just, like, having a feast of this food.
I need to know what his first initial reaction is for ice cream, because it was a very intimate moment with Vita and William, so I must know.
You go to feed him a dib, and at first he's kind of like, you know, he has the initial reaction with all food where he's just kind of like goes to chow down, but he like slows down on it, and you see his like one pupil almost dilate, like, whoa. And and he like looks to you, and then he looks to the ice cream again, and he says, thank you, Papa.
You're very welcome.
Does anyone have like scissors or anything?
Like, for real, or?
In the car at the moment.
Wait, why the fuck did I ask that? I'm sorry, I'm too tired.
It's okay. Like, do we, Jeremiah, do you just have, like, any, like, spare thing, any tools lying around?
Wow. I just fucking stroked out.
You all are stroking out apparently today.
All right, Jeremiah.
What's mine is yours, man. You can look in the car.
I think you borrow Jeremiah's big knife, if I remember.
There you go.
Okay, so basically, I take the knife and I cut off the other pant leg, and I cut off both like pant legs to go up to like where my knees are to have them just be shorts at this point.
Oh, glorious. Okay.
Some nice.
Like, I look like
rocking those. Rocking them.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like a teenager.
Oh my god, Cliff's gone from jeans to jorts.
Yeah, exactly, the jorts.
All right. Oh, this is gonna be so much fun then.
Fuck. Thank you.
Sliders Return is a tabletop role-playing podcast featuring interviews and a D&D 5e actual play adventure, so you can learn about different game systems and content creation while also listening to us disrupt everyday life on the Sword Coast. We release episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on your podcasting platform, so come join us as we improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Welcome to Table Party, and today we're counting down our top 10 table parties. This is excluding solo adventures and anything else in between. Let's get started. Top 10, Kelsey's Adventure. Top 9, Kelsey's Adventure. Pick number 8, Dio. 7, Kelsey's Adventure. 6, When Roberto Beat Jamie. 5, When Skylar Is in Every Episode. 4, Kelsey's Adventure. 3, Skylar's Adventure. 2, Roberto Throwing Jamie Down the Stairs. And our top number 1 pick is Kelsey's Episodes. Thank you, and if you get mad we left anything out, please comment down below. Back to the show. Oh wait, let's get back to the party.
Hey folks, this is Kelsey, and you're listening to the Table Party Podcast. Now let's get back to the party.
Jeremiah, would you like to share with the group the what information?
Yeah, quick question though. Mr. So we just stopped at the convenience store. We're on our way to our like Luna and Freeman meeting us, as opposed to us like picking them up. Or
I do believe you've set it up. You've talked to Luna, and Cliff said Luna, you know, will meet you there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give you the address. And, you know, Freeman can do the same. He seems to have already been out. And you get the text from Freeman, you know, here is the police report. Mm-hmm. I was also really suspicious, so I also attached another report from 2 weeks prior. And these are pictures of the report. And these are the parts that you are able to read off of it.
All right. So it appears that we need to go to the corner of Kramer Drive and 42nd Street, as that appears to be where the manhole is for us to get into the sewer system. The rest of the report, I could read it to you verbatim if you'd like, but it seems to just be saying that the person in question had drug possession, illegal firearm possession, and that they found him and cornered him in the sewers, no shots fired, and that he's in custody. There's not a lot of prime information beyond that, but I'm welcome to read it to you if you'd like.
Read it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, let's hear it. All right. Was that Junior?
Yeah, that was Junior. I don't know if this might be sensitive for a young child, but I'll read it in front of Junior if that's fine. All right. So, Sheriff Mabel Kahn, police report, location, corner of Kramer Drive and 42nd Street, theft, collision, evading arrest, drug possession, illegal firearm possession. Keith Gerard evaded Las Vegas police officers in a stolen white sedan at 9:53 p.m. He headed north along Route 93 towards Flats, where I cut him off. This led Mr. Gerard to exit the highway and enter the downtown neighborhood, colliding with a pole on the corner of Kramer Drive and 42nd Street. Keith Gerard left the vehicle behind and opened the nearby manhole cover into the sewer system beneath Flats. I followed suit, time check, 10:14. I entered the sewers and followed on foot. Mr. Gerard was caught. 22 grams of heroin, 5 grams of fentanyl, 1 loaded firearm, no shots fired, currently in custody, signed by Mabel Kahn. Interestingly, her signature from the previous report is much different. Like, the style of her handwriting looks to have drastically changed in 2 weeks.
Hmm.
The previous signature is more script, what I would have expected, and the subsequent signature from the most from that report, the most recent report is very almost formulaic and automated, very, very almost like it was typed by a computer, very straight.
And now I'll let you guys see it. Jeremiah, roll a plus, roll investigate a mystery for me. That's plus sharp.
Oops. Be great if I knew how to work a goddamn keyboard. 1 second. You said plus sharp?
Yeah.
Sound like I said plus sharp. Yeah. Okie dokie. That is an 8.
An 8. All right, hold one.
So am I asking this about the report?
About the report or about kind of what happened? Maybe if you ask a certain question, maybe I'll have Freeman text something else.
Mm. All right. I'd like to consult my brethren. I feel like appropriate questions would be what happened here, and what is being concealed here. I feel like the other questions are not necessarily appropriate, but...
I feel like if you want to get more information, you might do what is being concealed here. But that's just my take.
That's what I was leaning towards.
Yeah, that seems most appropriate.
Breaking character for a second. So, but based on my understanding of Deputy Freeman's relationship to this issue, he only knows what's in the report, right? I don't remember. I feel like I might have asked him if he could get some more information, but I don't know if he did. So if I should just say what is being concealed here and see if he knows more. But otherwise, he wasn't there. He wasn't there for the event.
No, there was... I do believe I said there was something else going on that night, and they were kind of spread thin.
Rock paper, scissors.
So the sheriff kind of took that and then had to go into the sewers. And then at first, Freeman was like, hot, good thing I didn't have to take that. And a lot of the energy and humor that is usually shared between the two of them, that kind of chemistry, total halt. Been acting very kind of emotionless, kind of going through the motions, and not exactly really acting like the same person.
Okay. All right, and then I'm going to ask for what is being concealed here.
Sure. I think that a few things stand out to Jeremiah in the police report. A lot of the sentences as far as leading up to, the chase in the sewer, many of them are longer and much more detailed. And then once they enter the sewer, it almost seems like the sentences become a bit vaguer, shorter, and more logical, as if there were specific memories to pull on beforehand, and now it's just specific things. Another very suspicious thing is, if a criminal is being chased, and let's say that they were, they're going through all of this trouble to evade Las Vegas police, to evade Sheriff Mabel all the way into the sewers, and then they're cornered, there were no shots fired at all. And Freeman then reiterates to you that this happened about 2 or 3 months ago. And the criminal is still in custody, like at the police house, where they should have been, had their court case already, and they should have been, moved along the process of law, of the judicial system.
All right, so is everyone else kind of on the same page of what we think is going on?
So that was the answer to what is being concealed here?
Yeah. as if there is something majorly concealed, in the sense they went down into the sewer and then something happened that changed Mabel's personality entirely and changed the way that they are acting and doing things. And I think you can assume what that was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially since now they went from, I'm going to chase you and like catch you, to no fire, no shots fired, currently in custody, will stay within custody to stay within, you know, so that we are within contact of one another. So on and so forth.
Mabel's the one that gave you this information, right?
No, that was
Deputy Freeman.
Deputy Freeman, okay.
Sent me the report.
Mabel does not.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sheriff Khan has been acting really weird. Deputy Sheriff is in a privileged position to have access to the county files, and that's where he pulled this from and sent it over to me as a favor.
Cool. All right.
And he'll be joining us.
Yeah, and I'll say with that, Cliff, you probably text Luna the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And, you know, a little bit like, you know, corner of Kramer Drive and 42nd Street, we're going to be going down into the sewer.
Yeah, and I would also say, bring some backup.
Okay.
Just in case.
Can I, at the risk of just exposing that I'm having trouble paying attention to everything, I know generally the relationship to Luna, but I need a very brief, abridged refresher as to who Luna belongs to.
Luna, a longtime customer, I guess, golf friend of Cliff, who has never really talked too much about their job, but you've gotten the sense that they have like a very shush-shush, secret-y kind of government job. And they... when everything happened with the Greyhound, that is somebody who Cliff reached out to, revealed that they worked for Area 51 and has, you know, helped a lot with the Greyhound and, you know, getting the government involved and taking care of that, and has now reached out to Cliff more recently about a lot of their concerns and mm-hmm. and worries about the government
that's,
and how they're handling things.
Yeah, that's fine. I couldn't remember if we knew explicitly who Luna was involved in or if it was more vague. I wasn't sure if I had forgotten something.
Yeah, it seems they've become a little bit more disappointed, and I think there's a better word that I'm trying to think of, but very frustrated with the way that the government has been handling things.
Disillusioned. So, disillusioned is what you're looking for.
Yeah, disillusioned, yeah. Disillusioned with the way that they've been handling things and wants to work with you guys to handle it much better.
Cool. Okay, cool. That pretty much aligns with what I remembered. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't sleep through a chapter or something.
No, you were all good.
It's like, Luna's a Food Network star. And I'm like, oh, fuck, when did we learn that?
Luna Ray.
Is that supposed to be like Rachel Ray?
Yeah.
Okay, Chris.
All right, so with that, I will say that, you know, you guys, unless there's anything else, you guys make it to the corner. So,
God, it's been 87 years.
it takes a little bit to get there, but you make it there no problem. And one of you kind of can immediately, it's midday, and you're able to see actually where the collision happened. You see the broken, you know, like, power line pole, or telephone pole, whatever it's referred to. You see the broken, you know, wooden pole, and the way that, you know, towns do where they just put a working one next to it, and they haven't really gotten rid of the old one yet, but that it is, like, cracked and broken. And about 10 feet from that pole, you can see a sewage manhole cover. The neighborhood itself seems pretty quiet. There aren't many people out at this time. There's not really too much to do in this part of town. It is very hot outside, and it is near the, you know, near the edge of town before, you know, you start to go south towards the city. But that's where they are. After a moment or two, you see a police car pull up, and you see Deputy Freeman step out of the vehicle, and he seems to be in a nervous sweat. He is somehow, you know, drenched his, you know, you could see almost like sweat stains in his denim jacket. And as he steps out of the vehicle, you can even hear like the air conditioner was blasting in there. He takes the jacket off and just kind of like breathes some fresh air for a moment.
Deputy, did you ever consider that maybe denim was not the right fabric for the desert?
No, I can usually handle denim, but I think we're on the right track.
What's wrong? What happened?
I was taking, you know, the pictures of the files, and as I was doing so, the sheriff came in and started asking a lot of questions, and I went out and ran out the building, and as I was running out, she started to change form, and I thought she was gonna get me.
What does she look like?
She looked like her face like opened up, and like her arms extended, and it felt like one of those things, you know, the things that we fought in the sewer, and I ran out of the station, and thank God there was other people around, because I think just seeing that there were other people outside just caused her to just stop in her tracks, and she just stood there in the hallway, you know, by the entrance door, and I looked back and I ran from my car and I made it here as soon as I can.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, glad you're safe. There's a lot going on, as I'm sure you can tell. But since you're here, wanna help us stop it, I guess? I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. And he's taken off his denim jacket, and he has like a denim button up underneath it that he now takes off, and it has those like metal, you know, buttons that kinda clip into one another, and he takes that off, and he has you know, like a denim tank top.
I was underneath. Just about to ask, does he have a chest and tank top underneath you?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I think this is getting a little intense. I don't know if we can trust in the rest of the law right now. I don't know who to trust. And as he says that, a black sedan rolls up nearby, and two very government-looking agents step out. One being Luna, and another one being a feminine-looking individual who seems to have this very light hair that is almost kind of wild and short and crazy, in all different directions, both of them wearing sunglasses and, you know, very, very nice black suits with firearms on their hips, and they step out of the vehicle.
I was going to start laughing if the other agent was Skylar. He holds every single job available.
No, you start laughing when the other agent is Clyde.
Right.
Wait, is it really?
No, it is not.
Okay.
I said great. Right and laughed, and then I wish you could have seen my face. I immediately went, wait.
Luna, it's really nice to see you. And who's your partner here?
My name is Solis.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Solis. S-O-L-I-S.
Solis. Okay.
I'm,
Nice to meet you.
Hi. Hi. Luna's kind of filled me in, and Luna steps in. Yes, I already filled her in, and, I trust her with my life. So, you know, I didn't bring anybody that I knew I couldn't trust, which was hard. So, I have my partner here.
Yeah. Let me introduce you to someone else, and I walk over to Mr. Freeman, and I'm like, Deputy, I want you to meet Luna, a good friend of ours, who's could use to hear some of what you just experienced a few minutes ago.
Yeah. So, the sheriff's a alien parasite. You know, real scary. All the bones and muscles and teeth and things, all kind of moving around, all jelly-like. Tried to kill me. So, yeah. Should just keep an eye out. I don't trust the police right now. I mean, other than me, I guess. Or you guys, I guess. I'm getting the sense you guys are the kind of fancy suits.
I think this is the trust circle. All right, everyone here, we can trust each other. We can trust each other with all this craziness that's happened, and hopefully, we can get to the bottom of what's happening right now when we enter, when we start to head towards the tunnel.
Yeah, and I would say right before that, Mateo comes up. Hi, I'm Mateo, and I have these, and he pulls out some more bracelets and hands one to each of the new people that have showed up. Right now, from what I can tell, what we're heading towards might be a bit radioactive. These things are going to protect you from that. Okay, thank you, Luna says. Man, this is going to be so fun playing all these NPCs that talk to one another.
So is this eight people at all?
You have the four of you, you have the four NPCs, and you have one junior.
We have one junior who just is its own entity.
Yeah. Actually, William, I want you to roll plus weird.
Oh boy.
Because I said we should roll to see how you know arms and juniors develop.
True.
And also, is Junior present? Like, are people about to experience Junior?
I'm assuming Junior is just freaking out in the open, and it's just going to be a lesson in patience for everybody.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
You feel like you've kind of been ignoring it because it doesn't feel any pain or anything like that. You just haven't really had to think about it. But in a moment, you kind of feel, you know, like your fingers are kind of warm, like they're in the sun, and you realize, oh shit, they are, and your fingers are starting to, like, creep up around where your sleeve is, and by eating a lot of things and taking in a lot of nourishment, you know, even if it was junk food and granola bars and snacks, it seems to have sped up the kind of regrowing reaction, and you no longer look like you're just have one arm. It still feels a little shorter than the other one, but it seems like it's just about to be there.
Nice.
As for Junior, his head has gotten, you kind of look down at him, and he kind of like, he's actually kind of standing behind your leg as if he's kind of shy of the new people that have shown up.
Oh, don't be shy, Junior. Just come on out. We'll introduce you.
Oh my god, this is a disaster in the making.
I'll just hold him. So, make him feel more comfortable.
So you guys scroll up to the GIF that Kelsey sent earlier when we were getting hype about recording of the cat, like, stepping out. And I will describe this. It is just like a cat standing on its hind legs with its front legs just, like, stiff down, and the head is kind of hunched over, looking over. And Junior just steps around like that, standing up. But remember now, this is an arm, and the two legs are fingers, and all of the limbs are fingers, and the head is just like one eyeball that kind of looks around. And
Dennis, no!
I think Mr. Freeman faints. You guys kind of wake him up a little bit, throw a little water on his face. He seems a bit dehydrated.
Cliff just silently to himself is just like, I want nothing to do with this introduction.
Hello, my name is Junior.
Oh my god.
This is my papa.
Yeah, just kind of sheepishly like, you know what, no, I should embrace this. This is my, my son, Junior.
The two government agents are very taken aback, and Luna's like, your son.
It's a long story.
Oh, okay. I don't think you guys have told Luna that, you know, William is a, you know, part parasite.
That's the thing. That's why I'm freaking out right now.
They're both like...
That's a very key thing.
Both of them are holding their firearms very hesitantly.
Okay. 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 I feel like we should just tell them at this point, you know?
Yeah, trust circle.
That's true. Okay, Luna, there is one thing that I did not tell you, and it was only because I wanted to protect him. But William is infected, but not in the way that you think he's infected.
And go on.
No, I was just gonna say, I would let William kind of explain what's going on.
Actually, Chris, I want you to roll the mundane when you tell a NPC the truth.
Oh, yes. Hold on one second. You tell a normal person the truth, so this is called Trust Me. When you tell a normal person the truth in order to protect them from danger, roll plus charm on a 10. Okay, so I'll just do that first. So that's an 8, and that's plus 2 is 10. So on a 10 plus, ooh, they'll do what you say they should, no questions asked.
All right.
The two of them kind of pull down their firearms. Okay. All right. Luna's like, I've worked with you before, and you seem good, and... Is this the parasite that was in you?
One of them.
Oh, one of them! And you got... Solas kind of steps in. How many more do you have in there?
Just two.
Just one.
Yes, it's two in all. One inside him, yes.
Oh, okay, so one on the inside, and then one on the outside, and that's you. And Junior's like,
uh-huh.
And then kind of sheepishly is like looks down like, oh, I'm standing, I shouldn't be standing, and then like goes down on all fours.
That's exactly what I pictured.
You know what Junior looks like? Like a weird stretched out like thumb person from the Spy Kids movies?
Oh, no.
No. Oh.
But
you
with an eye.
No, you don't know what. Is it like the, what like the Walsh thumb turnic
people? Okay. But like more long.
No.
It's a good reference.
I vaguely though. Like I don't have an exact. I remember them, but it's been a while since I saw that movie. So the parasite in him is called, this is Klaus speaking to Luna. The parasite in him is called Vita, and he
I think at this point Freeman has kind of awakened too and is kind of hearing what you're saying.
Okay. We have only just recently heard from him directly, but he has been communicating with William, basically saying that he has moved away from the other parasites, and that he is working against them. I forget what the reasoning was behind that or why he's decided to betray his own kind, but he is, for at least for what we can tell, telling the truth and trying to help us as much as we can. And if he isn't telling the truth and he's going to betray us at some point, well, we're just kind of at his mercy at this point. And specifically, William is at his mercy.
I don't think that really reaffirms them. And
no, I know. I'm being honest. This is me being completely honest with them that we just do not know.
Okay, I want to reassure them that this will not happen and that Cliff is being a fucky-wucky.
Okay.
Papa, can I speak?
Yes, go ahead.
This is the story about how my two fathers met. So, my one dad is William, and my other dad was a parasite. And a parasite was trying to eat William, but they did it wrong, because William was sick. So, they got together in a way that wasn't too good, and I don't think the other parasites liked that very much. So, they were working together, to make sure that, no parasite can get them, and that they love each other very much, so they're working together. And then they had me.
That in itself is another story, but yes, Junior's telling the truth.
I was a parasite, and I took over this bald guy, and then Dad ate the bald guy, and if you ever had a dream where you wish you had, where you would love him forever, and then they ate me, and then now I'm a good boy.
I think there was definitely more rambling in there, like, and then the daddy, and then they had the kissing, and the NASA people.
I appreciate that we're all trying to get to a point of trust in each other, but yeah. I know for a fact that the sheriff wants to eat people, so I wonder if perhaps we could move this along.
No.
Bonding time. The sheriff still has the document, and I'm sure remembers where this all was and knows that I was looking at it. So that might not be too good.
Yeah, for the interest in trying to save humanity, I think that we should try to move forward and just trust each other until we can.
Table Party has been brought to you by Team Chaos Productions. Find us on Twitter at The Table Party and at Team Chaos Pods, or on Instagram at Team Chaos Productions. See you again soon. You guys ready to clap?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, let's clap at 50.
Oh, God, it's a whole 10 seconds.
Whole 10 seconds.
Oh, my God. This is a night. Mayor.